This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Boylston and Bolton, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we'll be bringing you news from Berlin, Bolton, Boylston, Clinton, Lancaster, Stirling, and West Boylston. Today we'll be reading from the May 29th edition of the Clinton Item. All articles are written by Jan Gottesman, editor of the Item, unless otherwise noted. This is Peter Wilson. Our first article today is from Clinton. Four people run for two Clinton Select Board seats. Voters will see two major pieces of business on the election ballot when they go to the polls on Monday, June 8th, in Clinton. The only contest is for a select board. Four people have taken out papers for two of the three-year seats. Incumbents Sean Kerrigan and Matt Kobus, and challengers Brendan Bailey and Deborah Goodsell. Kerrigan has served on the board since 2017. In his candidate's announcement, Kerrigan wrote, "I'm a journalist by trade, and the first rule of journalism is to show, not tell. We've come a long way together over the past 9 years, and as a result, today Clinton is in the best shape it's seen in a generation." He pointed out to helping to get most municipal meetings broadcast for viewing for residents, his responsiveness through social media, email, his website, and by phone, and years of balanced budgets. In 2023, he said, "I said we couldn't turn back to the old ways, however safe they may appear. That temptation might be stronger than ever for some of you now, but nostalgia is not a plan. We need to stay focused, stay united, and keep Clinton headed in the right direction." Kobus is seeking his third term on the elect board. "During my time on the board," he said, "I focused on responsible financial management, long-term planning, and improving how the town operates day to day. That work has included addressing compensation and personnel issues, investing in town facilities and infrastructure, and supporting efforts to modernize systems so Clinton can operate more efficiently and effectively," Kobus wrote in his candidate's announcement. "Transparency and accountability have been central to how I approach this role. I believe residents deserve clear information, open discussion, and decision-making that is thoughtful, fair, and grounded in the best interests of the community. I have worked to answer hard questions, review the details, and make sure decisions are made in public and with a long-term perspective," he said. Bailey just wrapped up his service on the school committee. He currently serves as the town's veterans agent. "As a member of select board, my focus will be working with the other members and town administrator to improve the town, find solutions to problems and concerns, encourage respectful discussions, and practice fiscal responsibility," Bailey wrote in his candidate's announcement. "During my 30 years of service in the Marine Corps, I made many tough decisions. In the years ahead, the budget will be just one of the challenges faced by communities. I will work and vote to provide an organized and cost-effective budget that will provide the resources necessary to support improvement and provide necessary services," he said. Deborah Goodsell was formerly a member of the school committee and served as the town's Council on Aging director for several years. "Growing up in Clinton, I learned what true commitment to community looks like. My late father, Robert Champagne Jr., served as a select board member and instilled in me the values of accountability, hard work, and putting residents first. That example shaped my belief that local government must be responsive, transparent, and focused on delivering real results," Goodsell wrote in her candidate's announcement. "I've always believed that serving your community isn't just about making decisions. It's about listening, showing up, and doing the work. That is the standard that I will bring to the select board," she added. I'm running to help ensure Clinton remains a place where families thrive, businesses grow, and residents feel heard and supported. I am committed to strengthening town services, supporting residents of all ages, and keeping our community vibrant and well-managed for generations to come. The Item and Clinton Community TV hosted a candidates' night, which Kerrigan and Kobus took part in. Bailey and Goodsell were invited, but did not participate. Goodsell said she would prefer to meet voters individually. Bailey, a member of the school committee, attended the Clinton Adult Learning Center graduation that night. In addition, voters will be asked to follow up on a vote at the June 1st town meeting regarding a debt exclusion vote for a new library to be built on town-owned parcel on Chestnut Street. The question will be printed on the ballot regardless of how residents vote on the town meeting floor, since ballots have to be printed prior to the town meeting. To approve a borrowing question like this, a yes vote is needed at both a town meeting and the election. The total project cost is $24,854,000. The state made a grant of $11,316,000, which puts Clinton's contribution at $13,537. The $11.3 million that the state committed to Clinton is specifically for the library design that was submitted in December after months of consultation and years of community feedback, organizers said. For more information on the project, visit bigelowlibrary.org/status-of-project/. There are some holes on the ballot. There are 2 3-year seats on the school committee, but only incumbent Tina Zapantis' name appears on the ballot. Other seats with no candidates are for Parks and Recreation and Library Trustees. Others running on the Clinton ballot uncontested are for moderator, incumbent Terrence Ignano, solicitor, incumbent Robert Gibbons, town clerk, Becky Schoolcraft, Board of Health, Michael Donovan, library trustee, incumbents Jill Ashton and Christina Gagliardi, library is open, Parks and Recreation, 2 3-year seats, incumbent Ryan Rollard, and second seat is open, Housing Authority, incumbent William McGrail, and Planning Board, incumbent Douglas Price. In other election news, 3 vie for a seat on the West Boylston Select Board. Voters will have 2 contested races on the June 2nd West Boylston ballot. 3 people have submitted papers for a 3-year term on the select board: Michael Connors, Mark Frieden, and Winthrop Handy. Incumbent James Morrissey did not seek re-election. Connors moved to town about 10 years ago to start his family and now has 2 sons, one in first grade, the other entering kindergarten next year. He said the schools were one of the reasons he moved to town, and he recently served on the school building committee. The responsibility of the select board is to be proactive, to look ahead and plan ahead, Connors said during the recent candidates' night, adding the board ends up being reactive and proactive at the same time. Frieden currently serves on the planning board and previously served on the select board. I care about the West Boylston people and neighborhoods, and the future of our community, he said, adding the town needs to figure out how do we move forward without pricing people out of their homes. Winthrop has been a resident of West Boylston for 53 years, serving the town in several ways, including 27 years on the light board. I love our town, but want to see it return to accessibility and affordability, he said during the candidates' night. And 2 people have taken out papers for a 4-year seat on the planning board, Paul Anderson and Matthew Barakian. A candidates' night was held Tuesday, May 26th. You can watch the candidates for select board and planning board answer questions on West Boylston Public Access Television, WBPA.TV. No one took out papers for a 3-year seat on the Board of Library Trustees. Anyone interested In running a write-in campaign, can contact Town Clerk Candace Livingston at 774-261-4021 for information. Running unopposed are the School Committee, incumbents Nancy Hubbard and Emily Lehman, Library Trustees, incumbents Sharon Hennessy and Deborah Stamper, Planning Board, incumbent Mark Frieden, Board of Light Commissioners, incumbent James Bedoni, Jr., Housing Authority, incumbent Brenda Bowman, Housing Authority, Bethany Ingram, and Board of Water Commissioners, incumbent Michael Ward. Voting will take place on Tuesday, June 2nd, noon to 8 p.m. For information, contact Town Clerk Candace Livingston at clivingston@westboylston-ma.gov. And some good news from the Clinton Public Schools. Millie is a new big dog at Clinton Elementary. The Clinton Public Schools has a new employee, and everyone is wagging their tails in anticipation. Millie Mayo will be joining Clinton Elementary School as a facility dog. Emma Mayo, Clinton Elementary Guidance Counselor, will serve as Millie's primary handler. Boonfield Labradors partnered with Clinton Elementary School in this opportunity. Peggy Brogan and David Brogan are the owners of Boonfield Labradors, where they breed and raise facility dogs. Their dogs are placed in schools, police departments, fire departments, nursing homes, and courthouses. Clinton PTA sponsored this opportunity for Clinton Elementary School. Millie will begin her training at Clinton Elementary School in early June and will officially become an employee in training starting next school year. Her primary role will be to foster a sense of belonging within the school community while supporting students' social-emotional regulation and well-being. The school experienced tremendous success with our former therapy dog, Maggie McNally, and we are excited to welcome Millie into this important role following Maggie's retirement, according to a press release from the Clinton Public Schools. Our next article is entitled, Boylston Library Trustees Retire from Volunteer Roles, submitted by Arlene Murphy of the Boylston Public Library Trustees. After decades of continued service to the Boylston Public Library, Trustees Jean and Susan Terrio officially retired from their roles. Jean and Susan were pivotal in the successful execution of a three-phase renovation and restoration of our historic library, which is over a century old. Their efforts brought to completion a project that began back in 2009. Jean and Susan remained steadfastly committed to the project over the years throughout early planning and community conversations, to COVID-19 delays and other setbacks, to the final ribbon-cutting ceremony. In 2025, the last round of updates to the building's exterior were completed, including the addition of new windows, a complete restoration to the gables, fine refinishing work on all window trim inside and out, and updated interior finishings. Jean selflessly devoted her considerable skills to the project, which consisted of countless meetings with the architect, general contractor, library director, and numerous trade professionals. He consistently communicated essential construction details in a timely manner and provided the trustees with accurate, up-to-date financial records and reports throughout the entire project. His professional demeanor and excellent interpersonal skills made him an invaluable asset, enabling him to collaborate effectively with teams across various departments. Susan played a pivotal advising role behind the scenes. With over 25 years of involvement as a friend of the library and later as a trustee, her extensive knowledge of the history of the building, combined with her understanding of the community, provided a vital asset throughout the long restoration project. While library staff and town officials changed over the years, Susan provided a sense of continuity and optimistic collaboration each step of the way. During setbacks, she demonstrated the ability to adapt and pivot, always identifying the key questions that needed to be asked. I hasten to add that this restoration was sorely needed, as the original building was not ADA compliant and had failing infrastructure and many other major problems. The Terrio's volunteer expertise eliminated the need for an owner's representative, saving the community from an unaffordable expense. Thanks to their dedication, our historic landmark is set to thrive for another century and now serves as a warm and inviting place for Boylston residents. Jean and Susan have consistently demonstrated unified commitment, functioning as an inseparable team. They consistently exceeded expectations in their roles. Their capacity to tackle challenges, devise effective solutions, and work collaboratively with colleagues establishes them as an invaluable asset to our community. Again, submitted by Arlene Murphy, Boylston Public Library trustee. From Clinton, Adult Learning Center graduates learn You Matter at graduation. Submitted by Denise McGovern in a special to the Clinton item. The Philip E. Philbin Clinton Adult Learning Center gathered at Clinton High School on the evening of May 20th to celebrate the accomplishments of their adult learners during their annual graduation and awards ceremony. Miguel Oliveira from the program's child care led the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by welcome remarks by Christine Cordio, program director. Cordio focused on the message, You Matter, from the book of the same title by Christian Robinson. She thanked staff, families, and community members and encouraged all students to keep believing in themselves and their dreams despite the challenges of this time. More than 200 adult students from 24 different countries of origin were recognized with certificates of achievement as participants in English for speakers of other languages and high school equivalency preparation classes. 89 students obtained their high school credentials by completing GED or HISET testing. The following 23 students attended the cap and gown ceremony. Hannah Adams, Antoinette Auricchio, Tiana Bartold, Wasilia Belcalha, Michael Colon, Robert Holyoke, Lismelda Lagares, Oliver Libby, Marcelo Lopez, Paul Lovence, Dara Loind, Angel Mieja, Ivan Muganga, Talesha O'Leary, Anna Pinheiro, Eric Ricker, Ashlyn Rodriguez, Jasmine Rodriguez, Manuel Sanchez, Patrick Somerville, Suraka Tapara, Neva Vega, and Nohemi Yanes Bueso. Some students were recognized for their individual achievements. Maureen Philbin presented the Philip E. Philbin Memorial Scholarship to Marcelo Lopez. Ingrid Soto presented Lismeralda Lagares with the NIPRO Foundation Scholarship. Fiodalisa Bautista, Gilzane Gagnon, Eleni Martinez, and Lydia Chadet Torres were honored as new citizens of the United States. The Gabriela Evic Citizenship Award was presented to Fiodalisa Bautista and Eleni Martinez. Certificates of perfect attendance were awarded to Hamilton Fernandez, Vanessa Guimarães, Maria Molius, Yocasta Pascal, Benjamin Ramirez, Anna Maria Romo, and Alessandro Silva for participating in all 32 weeks of class during the 25-26 school year. State Rep Megan Kilcoyne, Superintendent Stephen Meyer, and School Committee Member Tena Zapantis congratulated students and offered words of inspiration during the ceremony. Brazilian immigrant Luis de Oliveira spoke on behalf of English language learners about being welcomed to the United States with open arms as he balanced the challenges of work, family responsibilities, and learning a new language. Manuel Sanchez, an HSE student originally from the Dominican Republic, said he found a wonderful family at the Clinton Adult Learning Center, where he quickly felt a sense of trust and in good hands for the future. Both speakers encouraged fellow students to follow their dreams. It was an uplifting event and evening honoring students, educators, and community advocates who embrace diversity and inclusion and truly believe that education is a basic right for all people. From Berlin, community support sought to save the general store. Ed Munter brought a lot of experience with him when he took over the Berlin General Store. Now he's reaching out to the community for help to save the small business, a true landmark in the town. The Berlin General Store has been a cornerstone of the community for 223 years, serving generations of families in the heart of Berlin, Munter wrote in his GoFundMe plea. As someone who grew up in this town, I have always cherished the memories and history tied to the store. Munter took over 5 years ago after retiring from a long career with a major hotel chain to ensure the store's legacy would continue for future generations. But despite the hard work, 14-hour days, 7 days a week, with only a few holidays off, Munter is having problems. I invested my retirement savings to purchase, maintain, and restore the store, but the economic conditions and the demands of keeping the business afloat have proven difficult. I've learned a great deal, but my ability to keep the store running on my own has reached its limits, he wrote. Now the Berlin General Store faces the possibility of bankruptcy or being sold to another owner. I can no longer support the business out of my own savings, and I am turning to the community for help. The funds raised will be used to pay off back taxes, overdue utility expenses, operational costs, and make necessary repairs to some of the old equipment inherited with the store. Munter said he hopes the community will help him preserve this local institution's legacy for future generations. The GoFundMe page is found at www.gofundme.com/f/help-save-the-berlin-general-store. Our next article is entitled Clinton Taps into Planning Tools in Wake of J-Bill Announced Closing. As the town continues to look to a future impacted by the loss of J-Bill, the select board at its May 20th meeting approved studies to help move forward. The select board approved an $18,000 offer from the Mass Development for an assessment of possible fiscal and economic impacts as the town works on the impacts of J-Bill's closing, according to Phil Duffy, director of the town's Community and Economic Development Office. This is a very down and dirty assessment intended to be turned around in about 45 days, Duffy said. The study will look at the anticipated economic and fiscal impacts associated with loss of employment in the downtown, including impacts on local businesses used by the employees. In addition, it will look at potential impacts on municipal revenues. As part of the study, it will do a very broad, very high view look at potential fiscal and economic impacts of different redevelopment scenarios, Duffy said, adding, "This is not a full assessment. It would look at scenarios such as commercial or industrial, residential, or mixed use. These different scenarios have different impacts and effects, particularly on municipal revenue, but also on economic activity. The purpose of this tool is to be the first rung on a ladder of subsequent planning initiatives and community initiatives intended to address changing conditions," Duffy said. The board also voted to apply for a grant through the Massachusetts Downtown Initiative Program for Downtown Action Strategy, which Duffy said would be for a downtown economic development action strategy. The board supported using $9,000 from the Community Development Fund, while the state funds would cover the bulk of a study, which could cost from $75,000 to $150,000. The board also voted to apply to the Massachusetts Planning Grant Program for a housing production plan, using $14,000 in town funds as a match for a housing production plan. Used as a plan for housing in communities, it can also provide a temporary safe harbor, giving a town more control over housing proposed under the 40B affordable housing law. A housing production plan will do an assessment of your existing housing stock, describe local and regional housing needs, do an assessment of critically existing infrastructure, including water and sewer, and its ability to support housing development, as well as your available land area for housing development, and make recommendations to further community goals, Duffy said. Even with this potential project coming along, with the facility becoming available, we all understand that housing has become an issue for many residents in our community and in our region, our own children, in fact. And this is a standard tool for understanding a community's capacity to create housing, Duffy said. And from West Boylston, trash carts will be arriving soon. Residents will be getting more information as they prepare for delivery of new trash carts. The brochure is going out in mail to remind people that the carts are coming, Interim Town Administrator Carter Terenzini told the Select Board at its May 20th meeting. They are slated to be delivered to residents the week of June 8th. Some residents got a surprise when E.L. Harvey opted not to participate after they had already signed up to use that alternative hauler, Terenzini said. Residents could request to opt back in, but the process, including carts and routes, was already underway, Terenzini said, allowing only a two-day notice for residents to request that change after the May 20th Select Board meeting. Efforts going forward will be made to adjust as residents may want to change their use of the town service. A message that we want to keep driving home is that the way that citizens can help control the rates is to continue to keep the weights down. I know that there is some concern that with the elimination of the pay-as-you-throw program, weights may go up, Terenzini said. It remains critically important that people continue to be good about the amount of waste that they produce. They will no longer have to buy those bags because it's now included in the rate. But we will hope that they will use the same ethic with the same system as they did with the other, he added. A memo going out with bills about June 1st will also include information on senior discounts, as well as how to request changing carts from 65 gallons to 35 gallons to the extent that they are available, Terenzini said. In other West Boylston business, the board approved an intermunicipal agreement with Sterling on the shared facilities manager now that the person is not retiring. Hours are reduced to 32 a week and are shared between the two towns. A similar agreement for a shared building commissioner was also approved. That will be shared between Berlin, Boylston, Sterling, and West Boylston. One item pointed out by the Select Board members was signs illegally placed on town property, including both political and business signs, with suggestions they could be collected and thrown out. We actually collected over 180 of them and threw them out eventually, Terenzini said. I will also say that town employees and town property, who know that's a violation of town policy, shouldn't have to wait for different town employee who has a limited amount of time to address this when they're standing in front of or looking at that sign, Terenzini said. Additionally, the board approved the fire department purchase of a backup generator. Funds were appropriated at town meeting 2 years ago. In addition, the board made annual appointments to town committees, with some vacancies to be filled if residents are interested in serving. An updated list will be included on the town website. And finally, Beverly Goodale was appointed to the Historic Commission, a role she had had for years. She had opted to allow a seat for someone else to join, but with no one stepping forward, she rejoined the commission. From Holden, a gathering will celebrate the rail trail growth. Wachusett Greenways will hold its annual gathering on Wednesday, June 3rd at 5:30 p.m. at Trout Brook Reservation, 320 Manning Street, Holden. The day will begin with a picnic, followed by sharing everyone's connections to Wachusett Greenways and the Mass Central Rail Trail, and the annual review. Bring your picnic supper, and Wachusett Greenways will provide dessert and beverages. All are welcome at the picnic pavilion, sunshine or rain, to mark Greenways' 31 years of connecting the Wachusett and Ware communities through the Mass Central Rail Trail. Reply by June 3rd. At the picnic, you can purchase hats and T-shirts introducing the new Central Mass Central Rail Trail logo, including a wheelchair rider with those enjoying the MCRT. According to Wachusett Greenways, 2025 was a year that included completing 2.3 miles of new trail, conducting maintenance of 21 miles of the MCRT with volunteers, and welcoming 926 donors from 127 towns and 17 states. Together with many partners, Wachusett Greenways is completing and maintaining the 30-mile section of the Massachusetts Central Rail Trail through Sterling, West Boylston, Holden, Rutland, Ockham, and Barrie. The suggested annual membership is $40. Your gift in any amount makes you a member. All are welcome. You can contribute here or mail your gift in any amount to Wachusett Greenways, P.O. Box 121, Holden, Mass. 01520. Local high schools get okay for new innovation pathways. From Boston, Clinton and Wachusett Regional School Districts were among those chosen for New Innovation Career Pathways, ICP, programs. Starting in school year 26-27, Innovation Career Pathways will be offered in nearly 36% of eligible high schools across Massachusetts. With these new designations, there will be over 8,500 students enrolled in one or more of the 303 Innovation Career Pathways in 130 high schools. Clinton will be adding business and finance, as well as information, to its offerings. Wachusett will be adding business and finance, as well as environmental and life sciences. We are committed to making sure young people across Massachusetts have access to strong college and career pathways that open doors to opportunity. By expanding access to applied learning in STEM fields like clean energy, life sciences, and information technology, we're preparing young people for successful careers in some of our fastest-growing industries in our state, said Governor Maura Healey. Our administration will keep investing in innovation career pathways that empower students to discover their passions and build a strong, equitable economy for Massachusetts. One of the most important things we can do for students is help them understand the opportunities available to them in high-demand STEM fields and give them meaningful experiences that connect learning to real careers, said Education Secretary Dr. Steve Zreike. Innovation Career Pathways allow students to explore their interests, build technical and problem-solving skills, and graduate with a stronger sense of purpose and direction for their future. Prior to these new program approvals, the administration had awarded nearly $5.4 million in October for ICP planning and implementation grants. Through ICP, students explore STEM-related careers, take advanced coursework, and gain real-world experience through internships and work-based learning, all at no cost to them. Through the administration's broader Reimagining High School initiative, Massachusetts is investing in programs that connect classroom learning to real-world experiences and emerging industries. In her fiscal year 27 budget proposal, filed alongside a Fair Share supplemental budget, Governor Healey proposed a $3 million increase for reimagining high school initiatives, bringing the state's total investment to more than $50 million for programs including early college and innovation career pathways. Together, these efforts are helping more students explore career interests, gain hands-on experience, and prepare for success in college and high-demand fields. In Memorial Day news, Clinton gathered inside to remember those who gave all. With rain canceling the parade, Clinton residents gathered inside Town Hall on Memorial Day to honor veterans who gave their life in defense of their country. Michael Zikonski, a Vietnam War veteran, was master of ceremonies. The Clinton Middle School and High School bands and the Immaculate Heart of Mary School Band performed. Clinton High valedictorian Thomas Bates read the Gettysburg Address, while Advanced Math and Science Academy junior Noah Ngano read General Logan's Order, and Clinton Elementary School student Rory O'Malley, great-granddaughter of World War II veteran Walter Ms. O'Malley, read Governor Maura Healey's proclamation. The Memorial Day address was given by John Molica, co-author of Clinton's World War II. Lancaster residents marked Memorial Day inside First Church. With rain sogging out the region, Lancaster's Memorial Day ceremony was moved inside the First Church, with Henry Richter serving as Master of Ceremonies. Noah Kerr read General Logan's Order, and John Craftby read the Gettysburg Address, while Michelle Durkee, a retired chaplain in the Army National Guard, gave the memorial address. Lancaster veterans saluted the war memorials they decorated during Lancaster's Memorial Day ceremony. Henry Richter, again commander of the Everett Minigan American Legion Post 96, served as Master of Ceremonies, and Ethan Berry played taps during Lancaster's Memorial Day services. From Clinton, community invited to celebrate Life of Brady at Renewed Playground. Brady Cassidy was only 8 when he was found drowned in a pond last summer, and Clinton Elementary School lost a beloved member, teacher Christina Zentgraf said. His obituary noted Brady recently completed the second grade at Clinton Elementary High School, where he was making amazing progress living with autism. He was full of wonder, resilience, and had a spark that made every room brighter. His love for nature, his growing curiosity, and his unstoppable determination inspired everyone around him. His loss has inspired a new project to honor and remember the little boy. Brady was on the autism spectrum, and in his memory, we are working to make our playground a more inclusive and welcoming space for all children by adding sensory-friendly elements, Zentgraf said. Families, students, staff, and community members are asked to join for a playground cleanup day on Saturday, June 6th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Together we can refresh and reimagine this space with love, care, and purpose, Zentgraf said. If anyone wants to join the cleanup, bring gloves and a rake. Experienced gardeners are also welcome. If you can't get there by 11 a.m., stop in at any time during that period, and Zentgraf said she will find you a task. Then on Saturday, June 13th at 2 p.m., they will hold a community reveal and remembrance event. This will be a time to reflect and support one another as a community, she said. Because Brady's passing happened during the summer, we didn't have the chance to come together as a school community to grieve. This moment allows us to do that together. Zentgraf said this is an opportunity for teachers and families to gather and remember Brady and his fun personality. He had many friends at school, and he loved music and The Lion King. We wanted to do something special for all the kids at school, she said. It started with a $200 donation from the district's David Almond Scholarship Fund, which staff started after the death of another beloved student a few years ago. They asked the community to join in, and that donation turned into thousands of dollars. We had raised more money than anticipated, so I wanted to make sure it all went to something the students and community could enjoy. The day of the reveal, we will have face painting, music by Jay Mannion, and the Fountain will be there serving their dirty sodas, all free of charge. From Clinton, Strand Theater has a history of mixing entertainment and community. The Strand Theater kept the community front and center for generations, from community events to giveaways and even a locally shot movie. It's always been about community, said Terry Ingano, a local historian who put together a historical presentation on the Strand at the Holder Memorial on May 20th. Everything was tied into something in the town. That is what keeps people coming back. The Strand has been closed for several years, but there is a hope for reopening with a new developer coming forward last year. But slow progress has people concerned. This local landmark, the linchpin of the High Street downtown area, will stay silent. But Ingano spoke to a standing-room-only crowd about the history. Ingano detailed the famous people came to the Strand, beginning with cowboys and Indians, the acceptable term at the time, including Helen Gibson, who made movies under the name Hazardous Helen, the first stunt woman in movie history. When the federal government outlawed certain Hopi Indian tribal dances as sacrilegious, Ingano said, Gibson became their spokesperson and traveled the U.S. with several Hopi chieftains, explaining their tribal dances. Soon the government changed its mind. Gibson brought these dances and dancers to the Strand stage. Other cowboys included Tex Fletcher, the lonely cowboy, who ran away from his New York home at 16 to join the circus, become a ranch hand, a lumberjack, and a singer. Another cowboy who came to the Strand was Wyoming Jack Hayes, who never made it to Wyoming. Hayes was born in Newton and moved west, to Natick. He bought a horse, Champy, for $50 and trained him to do 36 tricks, many of which the two demonstrated on the Strand stage. Several famous clowns came to the Strand, Ingano said, including from 59 to 1970, with the local bozo Frank Avruch making several appearances. Musicals were a big deal at the Strand. When the movie Toyland Casino was being shown in 1939, three of the child actors from the area, including two from Southbridge and one from Spencer, appeared on the Strand stage. Popular New England DJ Gene Laverne started as a country and western singer and brought his show, The Half Point Hootenanny, to the Strand in 1963, featuring singers and dancers and a yodeling poodle named Pampa. Big Brother himself, Bob Emery, came to the Strand, but long before he was a children's TV star in New England, Ingano said. The Strand and the Clinton Item always noted when people in the film were from the community, like director Clarence Brown, who directed Ah Wilderness and was born in Clinton. He sent crates of Hollywood memorabilia in 1950, when Clinton was celebrating his birthday, Ingano said. When Battle Cry was the movie, 10 recruits from the area were sworn in to the Marine Corps that night at the Strand. Two local men were in the Tony Curtis movie, Six Bridges to Cross, and they appeared at the Strand. And Clarence Nash, the official voice of Donald Duck, came to Clinton to promote the re-release of Snow White. When Donald Duck was born, Disney hired Nash to voice the animated character. Speaking of the many local programs held at the theater over the years, it has always been about community, and Ingano reminded people about the Strand. This week's neighbor-to-neighbor news includes many student honors. From Manchester, New Hampshire, several local residents were named to the Spring President's List at Southern New Hampshire University. Kalito Powell of Berlin, Brian Mooney of Bolton, Amanda Boyle and Crystal McNamara of Boylston, Ashley Balrati, Kylie Dobbeck, Tiffany Noza, Cordell Living and Alicia Price of Clinton, Amy Avila of Lancaster, Shannon Ambulos, Robert Gomez, Neve Mitchell and Mary Savoy of Sterling, and Sarah Glenn of West Boylston. Named to the Dean's List were Jacob Brescia and Dalton Torini of Clinton, and Brzez Terra of Lancaster. from Cedarville, Ohio, to Sterling residents were named to the Spring Dean's Honor List at Cedarville University, Emma Landadio and Joshua Landadio. Demorest, Georgia, news comes that Milan Ciano of Bolton was named to the Spring Dean's List at Piedmont University. From Rochester, New York, Ainsley Flanagan of West Boylston was named to the Spring Dean's List at Nazareth University. From Mansfield, Connecticut, several local residents were named to the Spring Dean's List at the University of Connecticut. From Bolton, Riley Dingian, Gabriella Egers, Charlie Mattox, and Amira Wahid. From Boylston, Aravind Bakali, Abikia Sonti, and Sophia Villani. From Lancaster, Jake Agoglia, Christopher LeBlanc, and Antonia Salvatelli. From Sterling, Isabella Piscator and Sabrina Simpson. And West Boylston, Amelia Riley. From Newport, Rhode Island, Sydney Fuller of Boylston and Paige Money of Berlin graduated from Salve Regina University. From Syracuse, New York, Madeline Bailey of Sterling graduated from Whitman School of Business at Syracuse University on May 10th. Magna cum laude with a dual major in marketing and business management. And from Worcester, two local residents were among the recent graduates from Holy Cross, Samantha Ford of Clinton and Gavin Klein of Bolton, cum laude. Our next article is entitled Performing Arts Studio Relocates to Clinton. An empty storefront on High Street didn't last long as Top Line Performing Arts opened at 195 High Street recently. Owner Janatha Jana Coffin and instructor James Gaudette held an open house Saturday, May 2nd, and classes begin May 8th. Coffin and Gaudette are partners and have been living in Clinton for the past 9.5 years. I have been the owner of New City Music Studio until 2017. I started in Hudson, but have been in Marlboro since 2021, Coffin said. We're closing that location on June 15th and moving all of our lessons to the new Clinton location and rebranding as Top Line. Coffin offers private piano and voice lessons, and Gaudette teaches private guitar, drum, and electric bass lessons. We'll be continuing to teach lessons, but I'll also be offering toddler music and movement classes, improv and acting classes, karaoke parties, teen open mic nights, and music and theater birthday parties, she said. Jim will be hosting guitar blues jams as well as master classes in guitar technique. The two have varied backgrounds in music and drama. Coffin grew up in northern Maine and began taking piano lessons at the age of 5, after begging for a piano since she could talk. She started teaching piano and dance lessons in her town when she was 15 years old and performed in her first musical theater production at the age of 12. She received her bachelor's in theater degree from Florida State University, where she performed in many diverse projects such as mystery dinner theater, opera, stage, and films. She continued her studies at Emerson College, where she earned a master's in theater education in 2002. At Emerson, she specialized in playmaking for young people and self-scripting. Her thesis project was a self-scripted piece that was workshopped with Whoopi Goldberg. Coffin plays flute, piano, bells, and xylophone, in addition to singing various styles, from classical to pop. She has directed, musical directed, and choreographed countless productions for both children and adults. Gaudette was born and raised in Lowell, and at an early age he showed an interest in music, particularly big band swing, 1950s rock and roll, and 1960s soul. When he was around 5 or 6 years old, he asked his parents for guitar lessons. He began guitar classes with a local jazz musician and also developed an interest in drums. By the time he was in junior high, he was playing bass, playing guitar, and studying drums with a professional percussionist. During high school at Bishop Guerton, he was a member of the concert, marching, and jazz bands. After high school, he began music studies at the University of Lowell and Northern Essex Community College. Several artists have made use of his songwriting, composing, and arranging abilities. He released an album of his own original tunes on which he played guitar, electric bass, and drums on all tracks in 2014. We're unique because we have such a varied background of music and, in my case, theater experience. We've both been teachers and performers for over 25 years. We tailor our lessons to each student so that everyone works on what they're most interested in learning, she said. We also work very hard to keep our prices reasonable because we believe an arts education should be affordable and accessible to as many people as possible. She said they'd hoped to move to Clinton for a while, but we were specifically interested in a spot on High Street, so this just worked out perfectly. We're going to be empty nesters this fall and are very excited to now have a 5-minute walking commute to work. She said the reception has been wonderful so far. We've had a lot of interest online, and several people came to the open house. Our neighbors on High Street have been incredibly supportive. We're hoping even more folks will reach out to sign up for lessons and classes, Coffin said. We love Clinton and are happy we settled here. The kindness and enthusiasm we've experienced around this new venture has really solidified that this is the right place for us. Coffin said the front of the space is open and will be where classes and parties will take place. All of these will be kept small so each student gets lots of personalized time and attention, she said, adding there's another room along the side where private lessons will take place. For more information, visit their website at toplineperformingarts.com. Our last article today is from West Boylston. Love over coffee becomes microcosm coffee roasters. It's a love story born from a bitter start and turning into a loving family and a new business. Ben and Mary Liker started their relationship and a marriage in a Massachusetts coffee shop almost 10 years ago. So coffee started as a fun drink to get from a cafe on a regular basis, but in a way it formed the space where our life and values started taking shape. Then time passed and we started brewing our own coffee in a French press to get strong flavors. But the real game changer was starting to grind whole beans in our own home. That exponentially added depth to the experience and notes to the coffee that I had liked before, but now it was on a wholly new level. So it's really been a journey, and now I feel I'm starting a whole new one with roasting, which is arguably where all the potential of the coffee beans are identified and tapped into. Ben said roasting their own coffee started out of curiosity. Once we got serious about what made coffee taste the way it did, freshness, origin, grinding, and sourced, roasting felt like the natural next step, Ben said, really understanding the whole thing from the ground up. Learning about coffee made it hard for Ben to ignore some basic questions, he said. Where did this come from, who grew it, and what does ethically sourced actually mean? I wanted to be a roaster that is genuinely honest about those questions rather than just using the right language, he said. The Likers operate out of their West Boylston home, having shared with the Zoning Board of Appeals and Town the business vision, scale, and technology of the roaster that reduces carbon impact by 87% over other roasters and has lower emissions than a home convection oven. Through this process, the town gave us approval, and we passed the health inspection. Mary said the name of the business came from the idea that small choices compound. A microcosm is a small world that reflects something larger, and that's how we think about coffee, the grind, the origin, the roast, where you buy it. Each one is a small decision that adds up to something real, for your cup and for the people and the places behind it. Microcosm felt right for a business built on the idea that the small things matter, and in fact, they compound over time. How much more enjoyable can coffee be when you don't have to feel conflicted about its impact on the environment or the lives of the people who work so hard to grow and harvest it, she added. Ben said currently they're roasting 3 single-origin coffees from Mexico, Ethiopia, and Guatemala, and 1 blend from Brazil and Ethiopia. The single origins will rotate due to seasonal growing, allowing for new experiences from all around the world. Each one is sourced from farms and cooperatives chosen for specific reasons, either women-led, fair trade pricing, living wages, and cooperative structures that put resources in the right hands, Ben said. The coffees are available individually or as a full-spectrum sampler for 4-ounce bags so that you can try all of them and find your favorite. Subscriptions are also available for people who want fresh coffee on a regular basis without having to think about it, Ben said. You can learn more about the coffees, sourcing information, and how to order online at microcosmcoffee.com. They're also on Instagram at microcosmcoffee, where we'll share what's in the roaster, where the coffee comes from, and what we're still learning, Mary said. As part of the goal to build community and co-create this impact with the people and environment in the coffee supply chain, we'll be sharing how we learn and what impacts those decisions have on the coffees that we make. And honestly, the best way is to just try a bag. The roast date is right on the label, and fresh coffee makes its own case. If you order online, the coffee will be shipped or delivered directly to your door. But you will also see Microcosm at local markets and events. The business is still a work in progress. The first bags shipped to a small group of founding members. The website is live, and we're getting started. I think there's something worth building here, a daily ritual that doesn't come with a stack of unresolved questions attached to it, Mary said. West Boylston is a good place to build it from, and so many people have been gracious with their support and encouragement already. We are excited to continue this as a catalyst for a thriving community. And that's the Clinton item for this week. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Peter Wilson. Thank you for listening.
Once again, Audio Journal listeners, this is Bill Ruggiero with your latest weather report for today. This is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies with clouds with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon, highs near 71 degrees. For tonight, an isolated thunderstorm in the evening, otherwise clearing after midnight. Lows will be in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, is calm for mostly sunny skies. Highs up into the lower 80s. Wednesday night, mostly clear skies. Lows will be in the upper 60s. And the outlook for Thursday is calm for mostly sunny skies, warm and humid. Highs up near 91 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear skies, warm and humid. Lows will be in the mid 70s. And the outlook for Friday is calm for mostly sunny skies, warm and humid, with afternoon showers and heavy thunderstorms. Some of the storms may produce strong gusty winds and hail. Highs on Friday near 81 degrees. And cooling it down for the weekend with more thunderstorms. And folks, that is your latest weather report for today, Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful Tuesday, everybody. Bye.
Listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, Hey, Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.